I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So that didn't go well.
No, it was terrible, obviously. I mean, it was one of those things. It wasn't just like, you know, you lose. I think most people expected them to lose. Yeah. It's not even that you lose by a lot. It's that it felt like the whole game felt like a panic attack. Like, it felt like they'd been thrown in the water and they were trying not to drown, basically. Like, you felt like they were just gasping for air the entire game. They felt overwhelmed, right?
Yes.
And so, that was, you know, it just felt like the whole thing felt like a shock to their system. And so,
and the fans were in a panic attack from the beginning.
Right, well,
it was a complete civic panic attack. I do think it's a little, it is the way it goes. You're right. But other times, like, whatever, they lose. They've lost so many openers. It's ridiculous. Oh, that was awful. They blew an opportunity. But it didn't necessarily feel like, and we're going to get that for the, like, there were things that happened last night that felt some aberrational,
right,
and some felt like they could be representative. And that was the part that was a little discouraging.
Yeah. I mean, you got to sort of sift through it and figure out what is sort of the structural flaws of the roster and what is the roster not being maximized, right?
Right.
Like, one of those things on the front office, one of those things is on the coaches and the players.
Right. Or on time of all.
Yeah.
That's right.
For now, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's some of both there. I mean, I think in terms of the first part of that, I mean, I wrote about it, you know, in my season preview, and we've been talking about it. They're one of the least athletic teams in the league, right? And so
they are the least athletic team in the league.
Maybe. I mean, I submitted that to a close study.
It's hard
study.
To imagine that a team could be least. Who is really super athletic? Jaren Jackson Jr. Who's a plus athlete on that
team? Jaren Jackson Jr., but he is not. He is long,
but he's not strong.
And quick, but he is not explosive, really. And he is not.
Wayne Seldon is.
He's
a plus.
Still going to
Wayne
get
Seldon's
stronger.
A plus athlete.
Yeah, he's a plus athlete. DJ Stephens is the best athlete on the roster if you count him. But you know, Wayne Seldon, who I think should be playing, and I've made that case before, in part because he does give you some of that spark and athleticism. And so you could see them, like, the Pacers were just bigger and stronger and quicker, and so there was that, and that's just
not going to
right.
That's going to change.
But at the same time, you also saw a Grizzlies team that just seems so uncertain of itself,
right?
And that can get better, that part of it, and so you need that to get better and to get better pretty quickly. And you know, the one good news is that, you know, you're not going to play every game on the road against a good team. Like, if you want to, you know, map out the NBA schedule, the hardest games are road games against good teams, and the easiest games are home games against bad teams.
And let's be honest, the
rest are sort of in the middle.
Road games against rested good teams. Like, I mean, you're not even getting a good team that's coming up back off a road trip or anything. Like, you're getting a focused good team on the road.
And so if you want to, I'm not optimistic, it's not even the right word, just sort of, you know, sort of calming a little bit, you could say it's an 82-game season. You're going to play, most of your games are not going to be road games against rested good teams. And over the 82, what I think the Grizzlies do have is pretty good depth. And if you can get yourselves all on the same page, then over 82 games, your depth will help you. The schedule will be a little more evened out. And, like, you know, it's one game. Let's not overreact, but let's react.
Right. You're exactly right. They're slow to begin with, and then when you're hesitant on top of slow, that absolutely combine that,
and then it's like an avalanche,
and it shows up both on defensively, where they couldn't guard just your basic pick and roll, and then offensively they looked like they had no idea what they were doing.
They were a beat slow and a beat uncertain about everything they were doing offensively, and I think you saw in the third quarter. And I'm concerned about Marc Gasol generally, and you can see it physically with him. I think he's gotten a step slower. He doesn't look like to me like he spent, you know, the summer, like, you know, running the mountains of Madrid or whatever. You know, he doesn't look
fat and out of shape.
He doesn't look like he's in peak shape the way, you know, maybe a couple years ago when he spent the summer. And he, you know, he's going to be 34. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know if we're ever going to see that again. And so I'm worried about him in terms of, is he losing a step in a demonstrable way? But what you saw in the third quarter was he came out and he just got more aggressive and just tried to force it more. And him forcing it more was good for the team.
Right.
Like they, it was the third quarter, he scored 13 in the third quarter, and they played him pretty much even in that quarter. And the rest of the time they got killed. And so they're going to have a more aggressive, assertive Conley and Gasol to be competitive.
Well, that was one of the things. There's so many things to talk about in that game, but one of the things was Mark and Mike combined for 22 shots.
Yeah, one of 14 inside the arc.
One of 14 inside the arc, and basically Marshawn Brooks and Garrett Temple had 21 shots between them. So you wondered about it felt like, listen, to the extent—
Temple had good shots, though. I mean, Temple was the one guy who was getting wide open three-point shots. Like, you know, when it seems like every time Conley and Parsons were shooting, they had guys draped all over them, and they were just sort of adjusting their shot to try to get them up over the— Temple was getting wide open threes, and if he's got wide open shots, you want him to take those shots, and he made, you know.
Right. I guess so. Well, let's start with this. The fundamental the starting lineup was the one you called a long time ago.
Yeah. Whatever. It's not necessarily what I think it should be, but that's what I expected.
It was what it was, and then the top three guys off the bench were Shelvin Mack, Marshawn Brooks, and Jaren Jackson Jr.
Kyle Anderson.
But in minutes.
Yeah, but in terms of the initial, as the rotation started to come in.
That's right. Kyle Anderson, he only got 19 minutes and did not get as many as Marshawn Brooks. And but that may be
some garbage time at the end of that game.
Right. Part of the question is what do we think we saw last night relative to, like, is that the plan going forward in terms of the rotation?
I would be surprised if they changed the starting lineup anytime that soon, unless injuries impressed upon him. But in terms of the rotations, he's basically said the bench may change game to game, right? He has made no commitment to the rotation. He's made a commitment to the starting lineup to some degree. And so I think they have a lot to figure out, especially in regard to Marshawn Brooks, Dylan Brooks, Wayne Seldon, and figuring out what the pecking order is there. I mean, at this point, with Marshawn Brooks, I mean, it's been feast or famine. We can't assume like he is the guy who looks good.
Like Tyreek. He did not look like a Tyreek with a better attitude last night.
Right, that's one game, but every game is one game. Right. You start adding them up, and so last season he played seven games. He looked great in five and bad in two, and in this preseason, I want to say he played four of the preseason games, and now one regular season, he's looked good in one and bad in four. And so it's starting to even out, right?
Right.
And so I don't know what the real Marshawn Brooks is, and it could be that the real Marshawn Brooks is a coin flip every night. You know, I think my personal opinion, and the one thing I tweeted beyond what I wrote was, you know, Shelvin Mack playing more than twice as many minutes, he played 30, as Wayne Seldon, Dylan Brooks, Andrew Harrison, I went and threw Javon Carter in there too, as those four players combined, who combined for 12, two of them getting zero, is not what I want to see out of the Grizzlies this season. And that was not a comment on winning or losing last night's game. That's not what I mean by that. What I mean is the larger enterprise of what the Grizzlies are trying to do, to me, is not served by heavy minutes for a journeyman backup point guard who you got for the league minimum that Orlando didn't even want back. It's trying to figure out, I think those other four players may just be better, at least three of them. And then the other thing is, what are you trying to accomplish? And we talk about these two tracks, you know, trying to be competitive now and trying to still build something beyond this season. And given their circumstances, I endorse that idea, but I care more about the second than the first. And what I care most about is where they come together. And to me, Wayne Seldon and Dylan Brooks definitely, and probably even Andrew Harrison, are just better. They are better, and they may actually be on the roster beyond this season. And so I don't, you know, I worry about it's one game, so we'll see. But I worry about Shelvin Mack becoming like the coach's security blanket kind of player, and I don't think he's worth that.
I think there's no question that, and it's, listen, J.B. Bickerstaff last year was the all in on just whatever it took, right? He just went along, and I don't mean that in any disparaging way. He did what he had to do. He tried to keep morale up, keep the ship going as they were aggressively, you know, not trying to win games, et cetera. Now, a little bit, the paths diverge to some extent. This is his first chance to get
it'll be
his last chance.
Right.
And so now the paths diverge, and you get the sense, just hearing him talk about Shelvin Mack, I don't expect 30 minutes a game because that was crazy. And at some point they went small and they try to play Mike off the ball, whatever. But when you hear him talk about Shelvin Mack, he sounds like a guy who loves Shelvin Mack.
And Garrett Temple, too. And Garrett Temple is more worthy of it, but it's same
those
kind of thing.
Two, right. That's exactly right. Those two veteran guys who I can trust,
right.
who I'm going to put on my – I can trust them more than I can trust Wayne Selden. That's the sense you get.
And I'm thinking about it in terms of 2 years from now when you're built around Jaren Jackson, who, if anyone on this roster, is part of that?
Right.
And I think, they've made a bet that Kyle Anderson is part of that. I feel like they've made a bet that Dylan Brooks is part of that, and you got to.
Well, what is happening there? 6 minutes for Dylan
Brooks.
Well,
he had a bad preseason, and so maybe, I don't know what they'll say today, but maybe some of it is like, you got to earn your spot, whatever. And I agree with that to a point. But they got to get him back on track. There's too much investment in him. And I feel like my personal belief is they need to have that level of investment in Wayne Selden, at least for now, until they find out. And so I look at the roster and I say, Jaren Jackson, Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, those are guys who could be part of this team in 2 years if you shifted a different direction. Wayne Selden, maybe. Let's find out. And so,
who would you be starting?
I would start Selden and Kyle Anderson on the wing. I'd be fine with Dylan Brooks and Kyle Anderson if you want to go that way, as long as the Selden is still playing. But that's what I would do. I always assumed Kyle Anderson would start. And so my case for Wayne Selden was based on the idea that Kyle Anderson was starting at the three, because I think Kyle Anderson, Garrett Temple doesn't give you enough oomph offensively, right? And so Temple, Chandler Parsons, makes a little bit more sense, because in theory, this was not the case last night, but in theory, Parsons gives you more of a scorer and then Temple gives you more of a defender, and that sort of blends together. But I think the investment is Kyle Anderson. Like, Chandler Parsons can run up and down the floor for 20 minutes and maybe he'll be good this year, but he's not going to be here past these 2 years. Like, Kyle Anderson, you've made this commitment. So I would start Kyle Anderson at the three, and I would start either Dylan Brooks or Wayne Selden at the two. And I would,
shooting there, though? I mean, Temple is actually a shooter and Chandler Parsons is ostensibly a shooter. And the problem with Chandler Parsons, of course, is that right now, Bickerstaff sort of, he deploys him as a three, and we saw last night, just lit up defensively.
Right. And when you're starting, you're having to guard better players.
Yes, and with Kyle Anderson, he actually can guard. He's not explode, but he can guard. He's a much better defensive lineup.
I think if you give them the same amount of minutes, you will get more points over the season out of Wayne Selden or Dylan Brooks than you will out of Garrett Temple. Yeah. And the other thing is, I'm not – my overriding concern is not – what gives you the best chance to win tonight, right. It is the big picture, but I don't think these things are in conflict,
right.
Because I think Dylan Brooks and Wayne Selden, if given the opportunity, are
at least 6-1/2 done to the other,
right.
Maybe better.
Right.
Or at least, if not better now, maybe better in December, or maybe better in February or January. Yes, right, exactly.
And so that's my feeling. The young guys who either have proven to be good or you think have a real chance to be good, I would be playing them. Like, I don't think they're Deonta Davis.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. What'd you think of Jaren Jackson Jr. last night?
It was kind of, I was one off from, my whole third, he'll be the third leading scorer on the team. He's fourth after one game. He wasn't good particularly, and you look at the plus minus,
Temple
terrible.
Was the third leading scorer?
Temple was the second.
Right.
It was 13 right. for Gasol, 12 for Temple, 11 right. for Conley, 10 for Jackson. But, they weren't good with him on the floor, but on the other hand, they weren't good with anybody on the floor.
Right.
I don't think he played particularly well, but it's kind of what I said yesterday. He'll find his way into points. He had 10 points, on I don't remember what the shooting was, but it wasn't embarrassing. He had 5 rebounds. He had 3 steals in 25 minutes. Like, he will find his way into producing just because of his talent level and his size. But it's one game. It wasn't a particularly good game from him, but it wasn't like, it wasn't some, red alert either. Like, I did that column on the history of Grizzlies rookie debuts, right? He had a better debut than Mike Conley did.
Did you think, in terms of offensively, there were not a lot of Conley, Mark, pick and roll. Like, that was not a big emphasis of the offense.
Right. I don't know if they had an emphasis of the offense. Their emphasis was trying to survive.
What was their emphasis?
Right. Yeah. Just trying not to drown.
I was a little snarky.
Every possession.
It was funny because it's funny you say that, because literally in one of those commercials, J.B. Bickerstaff is saying we're going to suffocate them on both sides, both on the offense.
They were suffocated.
And they were suffocated on both ends. Yeah. They were suffocated on both ends is the real problem. So Atlanta comes next, and Atlanta looked atrocious last night in losing to the Knicks, got blown out by the Knicks.
Right.
So
I mean, the Knicks, maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I'm pretty sure the Knicks are going to be terrible this year. And Atlanta lost by 19 against them. Vince Carter, how about Vince Carter? He starts at power forward for the Hawks. In a game they lose by 19, he plays 24 minutes. They're plus 7 with him on the floor. It is not guaranteed. I mean, they may lose at home tomorrow night. It's entirely possible.
Oh, if they play.
But Atlanta is bad.
Really bad.
And they're not going to feel suffocated. It's not going to be a panic attack on the floor because you're not going to feel like you're overwhelmed by this good team with all these athletes who plays well together. That will not be the case with the Hawks, right?
Right.
So if nothing else, there should be room to take a breath and, like, you know, stabilize yourself a little bit.
In terms of the rest of the league last night, your Luka Ayton matchup went probably basically as you would have predicted, that Ayton is going to put up bigger numbers, and he was 18-10-6. Luka was 10-8-4. But of course, the big story was Devin Booker who poured it on. And it's interesting looking at the Suns because it gives you a sense of how long rebuilding through the draft takes. Like how
or,
many
or can take
or can
they have
can
missed
take.
On so many high right. picks. But now suddenly now they have. But DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker.
Yeah, you've got to accumulate them, and you got to take. You got to whiff. I mean, they've whiffed on a bunch of them.
Right.
They've been bad for seven. It feels like they've been in the lottery for seven straight years.
I believe
something.
It's
like,
the second longest active non-playoff streak.
Yeah, and now they're finally accumulating.
They're not going to make the playoffs this
and
year.
And
probably,
not this
but
year.
You finally see the step forward because I'm not a huge Devin Booker fan, but he's a legit big time scorer in the NBA. And Ayton, I mean, I've said it since way during the middle of college season. I was saying it, and I'm still going to say it. You can't tell the future, but DeAndre Ayton is talent-wise a old school franchise center.
Right.
He's Ewing Robinson. He is that level of talent.
Yeah.
And to me, that was people were so overthinking the DeAndre Ayton thing. He did end up going number one, so not everyone was, but to the degree to which we spent all. In Memphis, we spent like the whole lottery
people arguing about Bagley versus
Doncic and not even talking about DeAndre Ayton.
Bagley didn't start, by the way. He did play.
He played 12 minutes.
He was kind of productive in his 12 minutes.
Yeah.
He was 6-5 in 12 minutes.
Right.
And Scal got a DNP for the Kings. Elsewhere, you had Kawhi looking good for the Raptors. They beat the Cavs.
The big one last night was New Orleans going into Houston.
New Orleans just thumping Houston.
I mean, I think the Grizzlies really
softened up Houston.
Yeah, I mean that was not good preparation for the Rockets.
And then DeMar DeRozan had a nice debut with San Antonio. I mean, he did what he does. He was 10-21, took a lot of shots and made nearly half of them.
Right.
Jimmy Butler, 23 points as he played, and as you pointed out, Vince Carter. And anything else stand out from you around the association last night?
The Clippers lose at home in their opener to Denver, and you look at the box score. I didn't see the game. You look at the box score, it sort of fits what I wrote about them in the preseason, which is they got all these like veteran guys who are injury-prone and not that good. Gallinari, Gortat, Beverly, Bradley, they were all bad other than Gallinari. And at some point, they just got to turn the page, and you know, they got to play Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Montrezl Harrell and all that. And so it sort of backs up my feeling that they got to just dispense with all these mediocre old players and start playing their young guys. It also backs up my idea that they're not going to be good this year.
Right.
And so, you know, if you still have some pretense of the Grizzlies making the playoffs, I don't think the Clippers are going to be a team that's in that mix.
Yeah, but it's interesting because, on the other hand, if you have a pretense that the Grizzlies are going to be 3-2 if you look at their schedule because you're chalking up wins against Atlanta, Sacramento, and Phoenix, two of which are on the road, right now Phoenix will be favored in that game.
Yeah, Phoenix will be favored in that game. And Sacramento did not – Sacramento's lineups were weird, but, like, Utah's really good. And
they hung in there.
And it was a six-point game. It was a six-point game in Sacramento, so they lost, you know, their home opener, but they lost a close game to a good team.
All right, parents, if your student is taking the ACT for the first time, Academic Advantage has a 90-minute introductory class to help students know how to approach the test. The amazing thing about this class, $25. Students go, parents go, 90 minutes. You learn everything you need to know about how to approach the ACT. I've said before, my son Ben went to Academic Advantage. His ACT score went up. My son Andrew went to Academic Advantage. His ACT score went up. If your ACT score goes up, A, you have more flexibility and choices in terms of where you might want to go to college. And critically, you get a lot more money from the colleges, from the college that you choose to go to. It makes all the sense in the world. And mind you, again, it's only a $25 investment for this 90-minute introductory class. You can call Academic Advantage at 921-1833, 921-1833, or on the web at academicadv.org. We got to take a break. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.